It is March 1st. Can you believe it? 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time right here on the West Coast. I am Brandon Bliso. This is Success Never Sleeps, where we as a collective of martial arts school owners, of small business owners, try to figure out this thing called life, create better businesses, impact our communities more, and of course, make sure we can scale and monetize and be profitable. You know, I was speaking at a college this week. And I said, the bottom line, no matter what your idea is, if you can't scale and monetize it into a profitable business, it's just that, an idea. And that's really the difference. How do you take an idea and bring it through to impact? You like that? This is a root beer lollipop. One of our Disney experiences in our school, we keep a thing of lollipops so at the end of the class, kids can get one. And I remember when I first saw this and it was in a dentist's office, I'm going, what the heck? You know, it's so small. I mean, it doesn't have a lot of sugar, but it's just a novelty. I can't tell you when we look at the waiting area, how many of our parents are sitting there like this. Right? It's just a little thought. And again, any opportunity we have to raise that bar is powerful. Take it a step further. My guy, TJ, you know, who is just brilliant in everything that he's doing and his growth. As becoming an entrepreneur and a small business owner, he takes a lollipop, one of our Kids Love Life Skills coloring sheets, and one of our four pack of crayons. And he'll go to the sibling that sits in the waiting area while the other one's in class, calls them by name, you know, gives them their favorite, he even knows their favorite lollipop. What the heck, right? And he gives them a coloring sheet and crayon. And I can't tell you how much the parents feel endeared to our culture, endeared to our community because of simple acts of kindness, as I call them, like that, right? Who do we got aboard? What's up, Karth? How are you, Karth? As you come aboard, say hello. Tell us where you're tuning in from. We love you. We appreciate you. We want to know that you're there. And please post this on all my pages, especially my personal page. Don't forget that one, Marco, so that we can get more people aboard on the show. You know, I sat on a Zoom yesterday with a bunch of school owners that use Kin Creative, which is who I'm a part of as well as an advisor and a brand ambassador. And I'm just amazed at how much information we truly, truly need. But it's not only the right information. I mean, information, it's the right information. Hey, Bob, what's happening, sir? What's happening, Bob? Resilient martial arts. Oh, what's happening, James? Who else is there? Say hello. Hey, there you go. Everyone's coming aboard. Elizabeth, what's happening, Beth? So for me, I recognize the value of what I bring to the table. And I don't remember his name offhand because it was happening so fast and the names were really small. But the gentleman shared with me, he's running his father's school. And several years back, you know, his father's now no longer with us. God rest his soul. But he said, you know, I want to tell you, you helped my father back then. And to me, that's why I do what I do. When the day's done, that's why I do what I do. So I feel very blessed. And when somebody says that to me, that you impacted my father, it doesn't feed my ego. It feeds my heart. And I think that's the big difference for me is I want to help. Yes, I need to scale and monetize. It is a business, my consulting, but I also need to do the right thing. I need to help people. And the balance of that is very important. And I say that because you as a small business owner need to give back. Right? Nobody cares what you know until they know that they care. And if every time you have your hand out like this going, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? What do I get out of it? What do I get out of it? Then I think you're going to be at a huge loss. This Sunday, I'll have Boy Scouts here, 10 of them, right? And the son does martial arts here. And I remember when the mom said, well, what are you going to charge? What would you charge for something like that? And I said, no. It's an hour of my time. I will personally come in on a Sunday so I don't tax my team. And I will take care of this one event. That endears. You think that's going to help retention with this boy being in our school? Absolutely. Well, that might lead to other opportunities with the scouts? Absolutely. Will that potentially get people to sign up on after Sunday? Absolutely. Absolutely. Right? It all goes tenfold. So I want to be mindful of that, that when I'm cultivating different things, I have to give. Cool. So let's talk about giving. Let's thank our sponsors, Tussauds, Market Muscles, My Studio, Kids with Life Skills, and LC Accounting. You know, Market Muscles is coming out with version four, and people don't know it. You know, it costs, I believe, several hundred thousand dollars to revamp everybody's website. But if you're not constantly updating your websites when the algorithms crawl, and I say this one a lot, you're going to rank lower. So the fact that Steven Reinstein and the people at Market Muscles are taking that incentive to upgrading us again, I think version 3 was just a couple years ago. But technology is moving at such a breakneck speed that your website can become obsolete really quickly. So you just think it's version 4 or like an update on your phone. No, it's not. There's a process that goes through updating every website, right? And I think they're pushing 800 to 1,000 clients now. So when you see that happening and you're all got your panties in a wad because you're inconvenienced that Marco Muscles is making these changes, right? If it affects you at all, I think it's a pretty seamless integration from the time they go live. But know that technology behaves that way. And if you're not with a CRM company like MyStudio or a company like Market Muscles, you better be ready for updates. That's an earmark of a great company. Think of your own iPhone. How often do you get security updates? Updates on that phone constantly, constantly, constantly. Okay? MyStudio is coming out with their latest version. I think it's 2.0 is what they're discussing. You know, think about that as well. Toussaint, I love you, Gunny. You know, my father did business with his dad back in the 90s, one of their first clients. That legacy continues today. I do business with Toussaint. They're great people. And if you're looking for uniform, belts, things of that nature, go to them, please. Kids of Life Skills, me, my sister, Ben, Marco, you know, Amy, Chris, we're there for you. You need a strong character, life skills component in your school. If you're not using Kids of Life Skill, talk to Marco, reach out to Letitia, you need to be. And then LC Accounting, my sister's up. She's tough on me, but she's always helped me stay in line, you know, watch my budget. She's a great bookkeeper, something you should think about. Okay, I want to get into this. Let's cover one more thing. It's Time Life Canada's coming up. People are booking. It's a 4-day event. The 4-day is really where it's the impactful. 1 day is training, staff training, right? How to train your staff, how to teach classes, all that. Next day is all business, including social media marketing. The next day is all personal development. And then the last day is wealth building and strategically taking that information and how to put it into action. So it's a well-rounded event. It's my first time up in Canada. You're going to want to be there. There's only 20 spots. If you're on the East Coast and want to come up into Canada, I recommend you get signed up for that. We haven't released the link yet for Purpose, but it's Time Life Purpose is coming up in November. You want to get signed up for that as well. Okay? So think about those things. I think the events that I offer are very unique in what I do, and that's why I'm being sought out by entrepreneurial groups at colleges and career days at high school, which is bigger than that. The companies like Meta, Microsoft, Stanford Healthcare, UCF Heart and Lung Division, all these companies I'm working for now, because when you run a purpose-driven company based upon core values, that's universal. The life skills we teach are universal, and it will impact those Boy Scouts on Sunday just as much it'll impact a Little League baseball team that we sponsor. You with me? So what is it all about? Part 2, Anatomy of a Technique. Curriculum development for me is an art. I'm revamping all my programs now, again, much like Market Muscles updating their websites, you know, MyStudio coming out with their latest version. If you are not visiting your curriculum on an annual basis and bettering your drills and bettering, you know, how the curriculum is delivered, then I think that's a big reason why your retention is horrible, why your leads don't convert, and why once they convert, they don't stay. Because the core product we deliver in our school is what? Martial arts classes. Duh. Yet, it's the least amount of time, effort, and money we focus on. You with me? So I'm going to challenge you on that. Okay, I'm going to challenge you. Hey, Bob, Conrad, what's up, Jason? Miss Monique. I was telling everybody today, we were on our group mentoring call. And it just, you know, you got me and Jason and Marco. We're all these surly looking guys. And we got this stunning, beautiful Miss Monique there, right? You know, she's like Beauty and the Beasts, right? She's not just Beauty and the Beast. It's Beauty and the Beasts. I know Marco and Jason's going, speak for yourself, man. But I digress. So think about it. You know, when is the last time, put it in the comments, when is the last time you updated your curriculum? Go. When is the last time you updated your curriculum? Root beer, the best. Oh, Bob Poole's coming up for the 2-day. Awesome, Bob. Make sure you get registered. Marco, put the link in there, please. Last month. Thank you, Conrad. Good. Yep, you're working on it right now. You know, I blew Marty's mind. He was tripped out. You know, because I was looking, I asked, you know, people to send me videos. And I noticed that they would do a lot of moves, you know, the pumces, dead air, stuff like this on the pumces. And I said, Marty, let's try this. First of all, if I'm teaching this move to a beginner, turning down block, that is not how I teach that move. Say you have mirrors. And this is where, you know, because we became masters of virtual for us, and it really, really served our purpose well. No, served our purpose well. I really understood the value of using this camera and how to utilize that. And first, you know, we have mirrors back here, right? We have all these mirrors along the wall, but I'm going to use you as my mirror. The hard part is when you're trying to teach this, let me turn this a little bit. When you're trying to teach this move to a student that's new, is it age level and skill level appropriate? No, it's not. But if you want to teach it, then we need to have a way to do that. So you take this dot, and in our case, this would be our coloring wall. Put your left foot on the coloring, on the coloring. Touch your leg. Put your other foot next to it. Turn and look at the mirror. Touch this left leg. What leg is this left? Take the left leg and point your toes at the mirror and go back to position. I kid you not. I'm going left leg, and then when they step with the right leg. I have physically had students tap this leg. Okay, now grab onto it. The leg you're holding onto, the path that you're holding onto, is the one you're going to take and step towards the mirror. Okay, go back to your dot. Put your foot on the black dot. Okay, look at the mirror. Step towards the mirror. This is called a front stance, right? Hypothetically. This is a front stance. I believe it is in Taekwondo. So again, put your foot on the black dot. Look at the mirror. Step off the black dot. Point your toes at the mirror. Are your toes pointed at the mirror? Very good, very good. Then we develop the whole drill. We sit the kids down. We sit the kids down. Hand behind your back. Go one, two. One, two. And they're kneeling down, so they're not sitting there dancing and thinking about the legs. One, two. One, two. Put that hand behind the back. One, two. One, two. One, two. Okay, can we put it together? One, two. One, two. One, two. Awesome. Now let's put it all together. Put that left foot on the dot. Right foot next to you. Look at the mirror. And as we move the left foot, we're going to say one. Touch that left leg. What leg is this? Left, left, left. What leg is this? Left. Excellent. Ready? One, two. Good. Go back to position. One. The number is here so I can make corrections. Is your hand touching your ear? Is the other hand here, right? Two. Okay. Eventually, there'll be no numbers, but I can take it from here and go what? Look at the mirror. One, two. Go back to position. Your left leg on the dot. Look at the mirror. One, two. One, two. And now, through the rhythm of counting, I'm able to put the move together. So that the numbers are there so you can make corrections in the stance, make corrections, highlight, spotlight. That's why the numbers are there. Eventually, there are no numbers. We know that. The end result is no numbers. There are no freaking numbers. I understand that. But what we're trying to do at this point is teach that turn. And by having everybody pay attention, this is what I said, a whole row of students down the line, guess what I can do now? I can have these clappers today. So when they turn and down block, you can go one, two on the punch. One, two, right? One, two. But the neat thing is if you have a whole row of students, you know, I noticed a lot in Taekwondo, it's one sir, two sir, three sir, four sir. That could take forever to go down the line. But if I do it in just even a set of one, everybody turn and face, okay, ready? One, two, move to the next kid. One, two, boom, boom, next kid. One, two, boom, boom. And I'm able to move down the line quickly, and you make a touch point, right? That touch point, the 3x3 rule, look at the kids, say their name, you know, appropriate touch with a high five. All that works really, really well. You with me? So you see where we're going with this? We're trying to expand upon our thinking. We just keep doing it the same old way because we don't know any different, right? And that's a big thing when I was working with the school owner. He said, I never thought about that. I said, that's okay, because that's all I think about. How to make it more fun, how to make it more dynamic, but most importantly of all, how to help them be a better martial artist, right? So the big thing with this move, going back for equipment. I go, one, two, I need this block to be where it needs to be. I don't need it over here. I don't need it over here. I need it where it needs to be. The big mistake I think school owners make, instructors at a younger level, so going like this, pow, pow. And the kid's going to flinch, especially if it's this one, you know, on an up block. So what do you want to do? You want to put the pad exactly where it needs to be. So the kid is going to the target versus the target coming at them, which is threatening for a kid who's 6, 7 years old that's never really done martial arts. So if you're always saying, no, no, one time we were sitting there going, no, this block goes in front of your left eye. These kids are like, what the hell are you talking about? No, you put the block in front of your left eye. Put it in front of your left eye. All we had to do was this. Go to the pad. Go to the pad. Go to the pad. And that remedied the whole thing. And the big thing I think that's really important for us anyways, is I understand people love to hit things. They love to hit things. Okay? Then we took it a step further. This is kind of cool, right? Again, it's the novelty and the fun. Put this on your arm. I had a knife in my hand this way. Okay? And on the other one, let's say for accuracy, I'm going to use a smaller target. So they turn in down block. One, two, boom, they hit the pad. Go to the next hit. One, they turn in down block. See, now they can hit the forearm pad as hard as they want, and they have a knife. As something kind of fun and distracting. Two, they punch the pad. So there's another drill. There's a whole nother drill, right? If you want to work power, let's say hypothetically, I'm working on power, right? Okay. You got it. Everybody's in a row. And I prefer with lower belt levels that we do the counting. Because you tell them there's one thing we use called black belt training. The problem with that, one kid's standing like this, the other one's talking to their friend. So I'm really having a hard discussion with my team now. Maybe we shouldn't utilize the drill black belt training for lower belt. Okay, something to think about. So again, imagine I'm here, turning down block, and then I punch. Right, again, up and down block. One, two, back to position. One, two, back to position. One, kiai. And they go to the end of the line. But everybody in that line is practicing. The challenge I see, a lot of time you'll be people standing in line doing this, waiting for their turn. Okay, if that's what you want to do. But I think we can make it more beneficial, especially if I have assistants that can make corrections while I'm queuing. So again, I don't know if lower belt levels should be left to their own devices. So I'm visiting whether we should do black belt training at the white belt level, at the year one level. Because there's too many kids standing around dancing them. But so now, what do we do? We developed one for power. We just see they don't have to hit the bag. They could simply do a singular technique on the bag, right? So again, look at all of this. How do we do all that? How do we make all of that happen? I think it's extremely powerful. Cool. If you got any questions, put them in there. Hey, all the people coming aboard, say hi, hello. I'm gonna put on my glasses. And just see who's there. We review curriculum yearly. I always teach as a mirror. I'll teach them. Yeah, I mean, the mirror thing is fine, Bob. We all do that. You know, I talk to my team about that all the time. The mirror thing is great. I think what's really important is how we're going to take a singular technique and disguise a repetition. Yeah, mirror is a done day for us. It's a done day. The challenge with the mirror thing, sir, in a move like this, right? There's the mirror over there. I step like this and punch. If I'm facing you, sir, and I'm stepping with this down block, guess what a lot of people will do? They're going to move backwards and away from me. So in this case, I don't know if it's the best, you know, the best to do, right? But if I'm facing you like this and I'm doing, you know, this doesn't have mirror on it, so this is technically my left hand, I would say it's right. Everybody punch with the right hand, right? Punch with the right hand, punch with the right hand. So I'm aware of that. So I think mirroring is a great thing. Hey, Courtney, what's happening? How you been, Courtney? Who else is here? And if you have a question about curriculum, Mark, and if you have a question about curriculum, please put it in. And as I shared with Mark at the top of this, I'm going to wrap the show up a little early today. My dentist had an opening, so I'm going to go take care of my teeth. Let me make sure I've said hello to everybody. Butterscotch is the best. No, it's not. Root beer. Cool. All right. So one of the questions somebody asked me is how to teach a back kick. You know, that's a wonderful one. But as I shared with every one of our kicks, we start from the ground. We start from the ground. Again, what kind of back kick is it? You know, are we talking about a cross behind back kick? Are we talking about a hopping back kick? You know, but that's neither here nor there. But fundamentally, for us, a back kick is taught with the toes pointed down. That's the hardest part about teaching a back kick. But I'm going to share with you how we do that. So first thing we do is all the kids are down on all fours like this, right? With their back to the mirror. We say, look over your shoulder. Or even sometimes the kid, because they do this when they kick, right? They're doing their back kick like this. We've even done this just on the floor. Look under your armpit. Now, by looking under the armpit, guess what happens? They can't help but keep their back flat, right, on a back kick. Sometimes when you tell them to do this, they're looking over the shoulder trying to do a back kick, and that's a bad day. But the first thing we do is say one, okay, bring your foot up to your bottom, right? Bring your foot up to your bottom. Two, make your leg straight. Good. Three, bring your foot back to your bottom, and four, put it down. Yeah, this whole thing about bring your knee into your chest, it just doesn't register with young kids. But, you know, you can't say it this way. You can't say kick yourself in the butt, right? But if we say bring your foot up to your bottom, awesome. Straighten your leg. Everyone knows what straighten means. Bend your leg, is your foot at your bottom, and put your foot down, right? So it's one, two, three, and four. And then we'll say one, two. Everybody hold your leg out on two. And one of the drills me and the teams love to do is while everybody is holding their leg out there for the neurological stimulation, we'll run down that line, pop, 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 whacking the bottom of their foot. And they laugh and they think it's funny and it's super cool. Everybody with me? Okay. So then we stand them up. Let's say practice both sides, all right? And then the next thing I do is help them differentiate between a front kick and a back kick. Because the first kick we teach is a front kick. The second kick we teach is a round kick, right? And as I shared last week, the brilliance of the round kick was when I had kids lay on their belly and show me that you're swimming, this is the part of your foot we're kicking with on a round kick. Because every kid goes to swimming class, you guys. This makes sense all day, every day, right? See the part of the foot hitting the mat? That's the part of the foot we kick with on a round kick. Yeah. We call it swimming feet. Duh, right? Because they all swim. So it made a lot of sense. So going back to the back kick now, when I stand up kids, the first thing I will reference is show me a front kick. And they all stand like this. This is a front kick. What is it? Front kick. What is this? Front kick. And they're all walking around on the balls of their feet. Then I'll say back kick. Oh, now we're kicking with what? The heel. You feel that part of the foot? That's the part of the foot that hits the back. For us, at least, for our back kick. What is this? And then, of course, as they get higher, what is this one? Side kick. What is this one? Side kick. And of course, standing up like this, you can't do a round kick, right? You can't. You just can't, right? But you can get them down on one foot like this and go, okay, tap your foot. That's the part of the foot in review that we kick with a round kick. Yes, sir? Yeah, you could do that as well. What we're doing is we're creating neurological stimulation. When they feel that piece of contact with the floor like this, the only thing contacting with the floor right now is what? The ball of my foot. How about here? The heel of my foot. How about here? The edge of my foot. On and on and on. Cool? All right. Then the next part of that, now that they're standing, I still want to eliminate balance from the equation. We have this beautiful pony wall. And when it was designed, that's one of the reasons I designed it. Thinking of the bar in a dance class, right? Think about the bar in a dance class. In this case, we can leverage the pony wall. I won't use it because it's off camera. No, maybe I will. Maybe I can. See if we can do this, Marco. Ah, look at that. It is beautiful school, right? So now we have the kids hold it like this. Let me go, one, bring your heel up to your bottom. Two, kick straight out. Now, what do we look like? The capital letter T. What do we look like? A capital letter T. They all know what a T is because they go to school. Three, bend your knee and put your foot on your bottom, and four, put your foot down. So we do it again that way. Now, in teaching this, to make sure the accuracy of the kick, they're not swinging it, and they're kicking straight, right? (Clears can go down the line where everybody's on this pony wall, and I always want to move in the direction that's safest for me. So I'll say one, hold the ring, don't kick the ring of fire, kick the pad. Two, three, don't touch the ring of the fire, put your foot on your bottom, and four. So now we go down the line. Everybody see that? This is perfect for a front kick, perfect for a back kick, even a side kick, right? Even a side, it doesn't work for a round kick because it's a different kick. But these two tools alone are very incremental in helping us get kids to throw a back kick straight, to get them to throw a front kick properly without too much talk, simply by doing. Don't touch the ring of fire, touch the pad. So that's the next level we do on the back kick. Now, if the issue is, for some kids, is that they keep turning their foot sideways, you know, there's really not a whole lot you can do with that. You know, it could be the way their body's built, right? In an ideal world in Kenpo, a back kick is thrown straight back with the heel of the foot, okay? With the toes pointed down. That's not always the easiest thing. So we're okay if they don't. But again, I think the bigger issue is when someone goes to throw a back kick, this hip flares and they spin around this way, almost like a side kick, right? So if I'm here, they're not kicking straight back. They're hooking their hip around and they're opening their body up this way. So a good way to remedy that, that's worked for us really well, is putting kids flat against the pony wall or flat against the earth. Because if that knee flares out, I'm going to hit the wall. But if I kick straight back, look, I never touch the wall. So they kick with that leg that's closest to the wall and they never hit it. And again, all these things are designed to do what? Muscle memory, right? And if I can do muscle memory without talk and using all these different pads, I think I create a very unique opportunity for myself. Can you talk about, man, I'm getting blind, Conrad. Can you talk about breaking down a kata over curriculum cycle of 16 weeks? Sure, absolutely. Again, what we understand, Conrad, in a kata, they can comprehend in any 40-minute class, right? Warm-up, game, all the different things, right? Life talk, stretch. You have roughly 30 to 40 minutes of actual teaching time. But what everything has proven scientifically is that the human mind can comprehend 3 to 8 moves. Now, once we get up into level 4, that's a different day. They're fourth year students. They can pick up anywhere from, you know, I would say 20 moves, because the front kick they did as a white belt, they're still doing that front kick in that year 4 kata. Right, that cross punch they did in as a white belt, they're still doing in year 4, sir. So none of that changes, right? None of that changes. You with me? So, but at the lower level, I want to be mindful of that. So, for example, you know, we've got this kata, Conrad, where and I know that we don't have mirroring on this TV, so just stay with me. You know, as we step back with the left foot, and we say face. Now, this is fundamentally their horse stance. We call it a side horse because they're sideways. You know what we learned recently? Okay, we're gonna do this. Well, the dot's kind of in the way here. Let me fix this. I love kata. See, that's the big thing, Conrad. I love kata for its artistic value. I know it's not always self-defense. So freaking what? It's fun. It requires balance, coordination, all the rest. Okay? But in my evolution of Kenpo with what we're doing, for every 3-month cycle, there's a kata. I ask for one stripe. I want one stripe in that 3-month cycle where I take my favorite technique within that kata and make it practical. So that part I'm really excited about our revamp. But so now the kids did this as a white belt. They learned this, right? They learned this. So how do we start them? We say, everybody make your horse stance. Great. Put your hands like this. Using the mirror. Say face. Good. And you know what we call this, Conrad? A thumbs up punch. I know, right? It's a vertical punch. You say vertical to a kid, they have no freaking idea what you're talking about. You say thumbs up punch, right? You like that? See? That's a vertical punch. Thumbs up punch. Duh, right? So that works really well with the kids. And this next one is a hammer fist to the groin. What the heck does that mean to a 6-year-old kid? Nothing. So we say, okay, touch your ear. Now punch down. Thumbs down punch. So a hammer fist to the groin. Now is the thumbs down punch. Go figure, right? It is what it is. So again, we have face, groin, face. Barring from this horse stance, they know using the mirror and they can see the rotation of going face to the hammer fist to the groin, back to the face. And we use words. Face, groin, face. Now, how do I put that together? Okay, stand on your dot. Put your hands like this. Step away from your, you know, step out with your left foot and go face, forward, face. That's the same move as this, sir. It's the same move. See, we've just learned how to teach fast and efficiently. And after we taught those three moves, what would we do? Well, I don't know. Now we use two pads on it, right? We use two pads on it. And we can go face, groin, face, go to the next kid. Face, groin, face, go to the next kid. Face, groin, face, on and on and on. On and on. Let's do it for a speed drill. Who can do the fastest? Ready? Face, groin, face. Boom, boom, boom. Ah, Johnny, you're the fastest. Back to attention. Ready? Face, groin, face. Oh, Susie, you were the fastest. Now we got a speed drill. Because as I shared last week, Conrad, everything we design is based upon CAPS, knowledge, accuracy, power, and speed. Knowledge, accuracy, power, and speed. So when you're designing a drill, bag is for what? Power. You know, if I want to do accuracy, one of my favorite ones with my upper students, I kid you not. You know, I'll say block, punch, right? And they're punching this little narrow rubber stick. Because you're a 3 or 4 student, right? So block, punch, right? And for our niece, I just like it. And you know how hard it is to hit that stick? It's really hard. But again, it teaches them that sense of accuracy. And you see that a lot in boxing. They've got those two small padded sticks that are used for drills and things like that. So I borrowed it from that. And again, having these rubber Arnie sticks in our school, it makes it so fluid simply to use them as one for accuracy. You with me? Because you have to be very accurate to hit this stick, right? Whereas something like, you know, we're talking about with the white belts. Yeah, I mean, in the year one students, they want to use this to throw a round kick. Because kids are kicking their legs and doing all of which what's your way. So round one, move down. Round two, right? And as I showed last week, I'm going to correct myself. We just everything in the set of three. So it's round one, round two, aya, move to the next kid. Round one, round two, aya, move to the next kid. Now, why do we do that? Because I find line drills sometimes can be extremely cumbersome. It takes time to move people around. We can move faster than moving 30 to 40 kids. So keeping those 30, 40 to kids on a nice dot, that is, these dots are laid down safely so nobody can ever kick or punch each other with no matter what we do. Again, you need to go to where people are at. So by us going down the line in the drill is much more effective than moving 40 kids to face bags and do every which watch away. So we're mindful of that with the bigger classes. You with me? So CAPS, knowledge, accuracy, power, and speed. So when you're breaking down that kata, I think the big thing though, when we do a kata, Conrad, is that we're not just kicking and punching dead air. For example, we're teaching swift arrow. One, you trap the double hand breath. Two, hit the solar plex. Three, chop the throat. Four, punch the groin. And five, palm the face. Well, guess what? I could do that all freaking day long. That's about as exciting as driftwood. Or I could come to a bag and go one, two, three, four. And then the rhythm is one, two, three, four, five, two, three, four, five. Or I could just focus on 2-3, 2-3, 2-3, 2-3, and go to the end of the line. All we can do. So then you can isolate certain movements, Conrad, and highlight and spotlight them. I'm big on finishing moves, whether I'm fighting or not. It's always that one move to put him down so he doesn't get back up was the big thing my papa preached. It was never the first technique I scored on or the second, but that third one, not only do you score a point, you put him down. Right. So he remembers to, you know, he doesn't want to compete with you. That was my father's mindset. So say it's a technique like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I want to focus on the 5. So maybe the kids are doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Boom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Boom. Right. And then I focus on just one. The key is what you're teaching with a kata. It's so many moves for a lot of katas. Everything is just simply memorization, where I want it to be fun. I want it to be practical. I want it to have impact, right? So you don't have to hit every technique on a pad, on a bag, or like that, but at least grab one of the techniques out of the 8 that you're teaching, or 2 or 3 in combination. You with me? So when you're talking about a 16-week cycle, right, 4 months, remember, we're only spending 2 to 3 stripes, that's only 6 weeks on a kata. It's how you drill it, right? Because we do 2 stripes every month. After 3 months, the 4th month is review, makeup stripes, and testing. And we're even having discussions about the guys are considering they want to change that. I'm open to it. I'm open to it. In the evolution of what we do, I am totally open to it. What I love about the system now, Conrad, April, spring break, it's not a full month. August, back to school, last minute vacations, it's not a full month. December, 1 week, you know, kids are on vacation for 2 weeks during December. It's not a full month of review, makeup, stripes, and testing. You with me? I hope you guys get that. So for me, it works really well because the other value of that is it's in line with the school year. It's in line with the school year. And that works really well for parents with scheduling things and timing. I have my good friend, Ralph, Ralph Hodel in Switzerland. They do 5 week cycles because kids in that's the way they go. They're in for 5 weeks, out for two, in for five, out for two. And they have year round schooling. So it's a much different drive. Do you have one stripe for the entire kata? No, absolutely not. Like I shared, that one kata we spread over three stripes. Now here's the brilliance in this, Conrad. Stay with me now. I missed the 2 week cycle. So I missed blue stripe, which was the first eight moves of the kata, hypothetically. So I come back for red stripe. In the old days, you couldn't do the middle part of the kata unless you knew the first part of the kata. Now, if you miss a class or something, that's no longer an issue. Oh, you have to get caught up and learn the beginning of the kata first in order to do it. No way. Right now we're on red stripe, which in our system is left and right, club and knife attack. That's all you're, I don't know, the blue, it doesn't matter. What we're working on is red stripe. So what has that allowed us to do? Is it possible that someone learns the middle part of the kata, then they learn the end part of the kata, then in makeup and review month, they're learning the first part of the kata? Yes. And at some point, they'll blend the whole thing. And I think that's the brilliance in that. So you don't want to do one stripe for a kata. You want to break it down as much as you can. Up in black belt, some of our katas are so long. You know, in the old days, I wanted to honor this. We have one black belt level where they spend 3 months on one advanced kata. 3 months. But we're working a lot of attacks, variations, you know, how they can apply it to the street. So it's not simply just facing the mirror and going through it, kicking and punching dead air for 3 months. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But I wanted to honor that part of Kenpo. Cool. All right. I've got about 8 more minutes, you guys. Then I got to go get my teeth cleaned. Hey, Letitia. Cool. All right. Any questions you want to lay on me? I think the biggest thing, though, is look around you. You know, I'm super passionate about engaging and using all these props. So when I come into a class, for me, if that rack isn't empty, it's a bad day. It's a bad day. Right? For me, it's a bad day. Hey, what's up, Adam? But I hope the biggest thing you get out of this when we're talking about the anatomy of a technique is that what we're really discussing here is you're not teaching it to you. You're not teaching it through the lens of, in my case, someone who's done martial arts for, 57 years. No, like Michael J. Fox says, if a student doesn't learn the way you teach, then teach the way the student learns. The mastery of being a great instructor, one, values based. I love Kenpo. It's my family art. So I'm not going to abandon it. I've just methodically learned how to teach it better. Learn how to teach it in such a way that it's engaging, that people feel empowered and people can get better. Right? I get that criticism all the time. You watered down Kenpo. No, my guys can fight. My guys are great martial artists. All I've done is help teach it and facilitate it in such a way that, number one, yes, it does improve our retention. Number two, it reduces our attrition. Number three, it's clearly defined. So I understand how to get from a white belt to a yellow belt. I'm very clear. You look up on our board right now, it says, learn week, red stripe 17. Great. I don't expect to get a stripe this week. I am learning red stripe 17. Next week when I come to class, I will earn red stripe 17. So we've really taken it to that level scientifically where, and this is important for retention, that the parent understands what's going on, you understand what's going on, and your team understands what's going on. So we can, in our team training, prepare people better to teach. There's nothing worse than to walk off that floor and go, my kid hasn't earned a stripe. Oh, well, let me talk to professor or teach it. Let me know. I can hold your belt up and go, oh, I see that you have 4 stripes on the belt. We're on stripe. Oh, we're on the 5th stripe. You're right on course. Oh, okay, great. Wonderful, fine, right? Or tell me what my kid should practice. Well, we're working on ripping tiger, and it's, you know, it's this thing, right? No way. Open up your app, click on the books, and as you see right up there on the wall, we're on what? Red stripe 17. Your child is a level 1 student. So all of that, I'm always looking for that type of magic Disney moment to create an experience, to create an experience where people are not only empowered, but they have a clear expectation of what to expect from us and a clear expectation of how my child progresses through the ranks. Because they don't know, you know, what you're teaching. They want to know how and why. And if I can clearly understand, oh, I need to practice that because this is learn week. Oh, this week is earn week. Oh, after 3 months, I should have 6 stripes. Oh, if I don't, I can do makeup stripes during that review month. Great. See where I'm going with all this? You know, I mean, I would work with instructors who just sit to walk on the floor and go, tonight we're working on this. Excuse me, sir. I thought we were finishing up that kata we've been working on. Nah, tonight I feel like this. You can't do that. Syllabuses and lesson plans need to be tight and right, tight and right, tight and right. You with me? All right. So I hope this inspires you to really think about your curriculum. You know, and people criticize me all the time. What's the stripes and the dots on the floor and the badges and all this stuff? The bottom line is, at least I have a system. At least I have a direction. Find out what that direction is for you. And if the end results is, like I said to the entrepreneurial group at City College, if I can't scale and monetize this thing, it does not matter. Because I'm not just the martial artist. I'm in the martial arts business. You with me? Who's with me? Let's see what we got seeing here. When warming up, can you use different strikes? Yeah, absolutely. It's no different than a boxer, Beth. You know, think about a boxer, sit there, shadow box. Okay, throw some jabs. All right, work on that cross punch. Boom. Yeah, absolutely. But what is the purpose of warming up? Let's decide to do that. And then I got to get out of here. Okay, a warm up is to do what? Oxygenate the muscles and make the muscles pliable so I don't pull muscles and get hurt, right? Get a little cardio, get a little sweat, break a sweat, as one would say, right? So my warm-up needs to be push-ups, sit-ups, jumping jacks, all these standard things that have stood the test of time. But in there, could there be a 30-second spot, Marty, where somebody does nothing but the technique we're working on in class? Sure. Absolutely. 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 How would you teach kids to pivot left and right? You got to send me a video. What does that mean to pivot? Pivot. You know, if you're talking about pivoting, you mean pivot left and right like this pivot? Are you talking about pivoting this way, left and right like a boxer? Are you talking about pivoting forward and pivoting back? I'm not sure what that question, but Marty, send me a video. Send me a video. I love looking at curriculum and I love helping people design curriculum because again, it's the core product we deliver. Cool. All right. So let's start by thanking our sponsors. Gustav, Market Muscles, My Studio, Kids Love Life Skills, LC Accounting. Look for version 4 of Market Muscles. I'm so excited. Look for version 2 of My Studio. I'm so excited. You need Kids Love Life Skills? Go there now. Get signed up. Talk to Marco. Do it. Where are we coming to? Canada. Bob, I look forward to seeing you in Canada for 2 days. Man, you should try to stay for 4, Bob. It'll blow your mind. Try to stay for 4, sir. You know, I know you've been following me a long time, and if you can make that happen, it's going to blow your mind. Get signed up for It's Time Live Canada. Marco put the link in there. Think about November visiting us out here in San Francisco for It's Time Live purpose. We only take 20 people for the 4 days. 2 days, we have a lot more room. The 1 day, we have a lot more room. But ideally, if you can't stay here for 4 days, then you really need to stay here for 4 days. That means your business can't run without you. There's a lot of things that you need to update and make right. You need to come for 4 days. Get signed up for both of them, okay? All right, hey, I am Brandon Belisa. I want to thank everybody for being here today. I love the martial arts, as you can see, having done it since I was five. Technically, I was three, but they didn't have uniforms big enough back then. I love the martial arts. But more than the martial arts, I love the people that make it their lives. You know, we know 9 out of 10 small businesses fail, period. Even harder, martial arts school. It's really hard. So I wear a lot of different hats. I wear them extremely well, and that's important to me. I understand social media. I understand storytelling. I can stand toe-to-toe with a lawyer. I can stand toe-to-toe in lease negotiations. I can do curriculum design. I can do staff training. I can write lesson plans. I can write systems because I want to stack the deck in my favor. I don't want to be one of the 9 out of 10 that fail. I want to be the 1 out of 10 that not only thrive, but excel. You with me? I hope so. Thank you, Marco, for holding down the line. As always, this will be posted shortly, you know, at YouTube, wherever that it goes. Talk to Marco for that. For me, follow me at YouTube. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. Look for my podcast, Success Never Sleeps, Mindful Meditation, and Spotify and Apple and all those platforms. Please follow me at Instagram. For everything else, go to BrandonBelisa.com. Until we talk again, folks, what are you going to go out there and do? Live your best life. We'll be right back.